Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And a very happy Monday to you. Thank you for joining us as we open the week here on Catholic Answers Live. Very grateful to have you with us. Tough topic, but a very joyful approach to addressing that topic this hour. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness is the latest book from Dr. Kevin Vost. And loneliness is, well, as we will discuss shortly, it appears to be in epidemic proportions these days. If you have questions or comments about loneliness and about the Catholic kind of approach to how do we think about loneliness and how do we deal with loneliness, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it is a very tough day here in the United States. And so before we get to our topic, we'll take a quick moment to ask Dr. Vost about that. Dr. Kevin Vost, thanks so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
It's my pleasure to be here with you today, Cy. But, of course, you're so right about the nature of the sadness of our day today. I'm here to talk about loneliness, and I guess one common theme there is suffering. Though, of course, we have intense, immense suffering going on right now. I'm sure, you know, any listener, we feel the distress ourselves, you know, let alone to think what those surviving victims and their families are going through. So certainly, you know, we want to pray for the souls of the deceased and pray for the healing of the injured victims, and also pray for strength and solace to the families who have lost loved ones, families and friends. You can imagine, you know, there's new loneliness, you know, it's going to grow from the holes that's lacking in their lives now. I think also, you know, we can call to mind that when any of us, you know, sees a loved one walk out that door, for whatever reason, we're never certain we'll see them again. So we always want to use, you know, every opportunity we can to share Christ's love with one another.
And I wonder if it just seems like over the course of the last few months, we have been hit with one really big trauma after another, including these storms that have done so much damage, earthquake in Mexico City, and now this morning's horrible news out of Las Vegas. And this is kind of where you spend your life, right, at the nexus there of spiritual and psychological suffering. Is there a point at which you can kind of say, oh, I've had enough? Or maybe it's not just this individual traumas, but as a country, it's trauma after trauma. They can kind of accumulate on you and you can maybe lose your way.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, traumas have been here, you know, since we've been here on Earth. But we are having them, you know, record proportions here recently with this horrible mass killing, with these very, very powerful hurricanes. And it can, you know, test the limits, of course, of our human capacities. But you know, as people of faith, as Catholics with faith in God, we know that nothing's beyond God, that He's not going to give us challenges that collectively we can't, you know, endure with His grace and help. So we'll always, you know, pray to God for His strength and be hopeful that in some ways, you know, some goods can still come from even the worst tragedies.
We also maybe have a temptation to overindulge in media on these occasions. Maybe, I don't know, do you ever advise people just if it's upsetting, step away from it? You're not failing somehow morally to not be watching the news even on a day like today.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because I know myself, you know, my wife and my family, you know, you are drawn to it almost magnetically as you sit there and see the stories, you know, time after time again, and it can be distressing. So, you know, certainly we do need to pull away from the media at times. And of course, in fact, that's one of the general messages in my book on loneliness, that in some ways this overindulgence in media, you know, can draw us away from just that simple face-to-face contact with those that we really care about. So certainly we want to have some sense of what's going on out there, but hopefully we won't feel compelled to be absorbed in this, that we'll go on and do things with our loved ones around us, you know, as all the details of the crisis unfold.
888-318-7884, our number. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, is this your 12th book? 13th book? Or is it a baker's
I think we're at 15 with three more cooking in the oven.
You know it's a lot when the author says, okay, so, but such an important topic. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness is the book. The kind of subtitle, How Science and Faith Can Help Us Understand It, Grow From It, and Conquer It. Am I correct, do you think, to say that there's something of an epidemic of loneliness in our society?
Yes. You know, the psychological, sociological researchers, the medical research themselves are saying that. A friend of mine just brought to my attention that last week, even in the Harvard Business Review, there was an article about the epidemic of loneliness in the workplace, written by our previous Surgeon General of the United States. You know, recent studies have really documented amazing numbers of lonely people. In the U.S., most studies show about a third to 33% to 40% or so of people will say they're feeling lonely. And a subset of those lonely people are severely lonely. So one thing, if you, a listener, are feeling lonely, you are definitely not alone. You know, sadly, there's the irony there. There are so many millions of people in our own nation and throughout the world who are dealing with loneliness right now for various reasons, but they experience either a sense of emotional isolation from a trusted confidant, from really loved ones around them, or even a broader sense of social disconnectedness that a person might feel when they do know they have a loving spouse or loving siblings or parents or children, and yet they feel disconnected in a broader sense. Maybe they were relocated or they're in a new workplace or a different school setting. So there are all kinds of ways that we can feel lonely, and it is very, very prevalent in our time.
But one of the things that, in addition to all the kind of external factors we can point to, and there are a lot of them, you know, being isolated in our homes and you know, sometimes we say isolated in our homes and media and all that. It's not just that I'm isolated in my home. It's if I go out to join a club or do this, there's fewer and fewer people doing those things. So it's harder and harder to have those what used to be relatively easy kind of relationships, you know, to join this or that organization or group or club. But there are fewer people out there doing those things. But you point to our own thinking a great deal, as a matter of fact. You use the word thinking a great deal in the book. What is it about, you know, lonely thinking?
Yes, I did. And that, again, that comes from the up-to-date research on the therapy of loneliness. You know, what do psychiatrists and other therapists try to do when people are really distressed by loneliness and they come to them and, you know, admit to that, or it's found out that the person is lonely? And just in general, three main interventions include, one is social skills training, you know, encouraging people to look a person in the eye, to greet them and to listen and so on. Another is to try to forge those areas of social support, you know, joining groups, things like that. Very, very important. But the most effective treatment that's been found in what they call a meta-analysis, where they look at entire groups of dozens or hundreds of studies and look for the most effective means. In there, it's what's called cognitive therapy, or techniques that try to address what they call maladaptive social cognition, or kind of distressing ways that we think about social situations, which I call, in layman's terms, lonely thinking. Because if we can find that in ourselves, if we can find these tendencies to distress ourselves when we feel lonely, and we can learn to do something about those, it can also change the way that we behave. So, for example, that social skills training, they found that most people who are lonely already do have social skills, but it can be self-defeating and distorted tendencies in thinking that prevent them from using them.
Okay, so I'm just trying to follow. I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. But so I have the skills socially to be able to function with other people, but I am lonely because I'm not thinking properly about how to use those skills when I engage with other people.
Yeah, the idea is that people who have been lonely, you know, for a long time or to a significant degree, sometimes, you know, their thinking will become distorted. They'll be more likely to expect people to reject them. For example, they might become paranoid about others, you know, think others aren't interested in them. And then they start, you know, perceiving if they reach out to someone, they don't respond, you know, it really distresses them. They tend to catastrophize or personalize things. So part of the cognitive therapy treatment of loneliness is to catch ourselves, to catch the ways we talk to ourselves. You know, if we do seem to be slighted in some situation, you know, do we make a mountain out of a molehill, or do we say, okay, well, that didn't turn out the way I wanted, but that doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way next time. So things like that, just kind of catching the way we talk to ourselves so we don't compound what might be a real situation of loneliness.
888-318-7884, the number. We're talking about the Catholic Guide to Loneliness with Dr. Kevin Vost this hour. 888-318-7884. If you would like to discuss your own loneliness or the facts of loneliness, I want to get into a little bit of what the Catholic kind of mindset or the Catholic view, the historic traditional wisdom of the Catholic Church has to say about this as well, Dr. Vost. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Barron. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Matthew 18, when Jesus speaks of the innocence of children, he says, "Their angels in heaven always look upon the Father's face." He is speaking, of course, about their guardian angels. Talk of such angels can be found in early rabbinic writings. St. John also writes of St. Peter's angel in Acts 12:15. Though we are seldom aware of them, they guard us from physical harm and from spiritual harm as well. Their presence is a sign of God's love for us and for them. Since it is their love for us and for God that they serve us, they benefit as well. Love is like that. In loving us, they grow more loving themselves, as do we when we put ourselves out for one another. We can look forward to finally meeting them in heaven and learning how much their loving concern for us has helped us to join them before the face of God. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness is the latest book from Dr. Kevin Vost. We were talking a little bit about how our own thinking can be part of the, would you call it a cycle of loneliness, Dr. Vost?
Yes, there is a thinking tendencies that have kind of become a cycle that can keep people mired in loneliness once they're thinking becomes distorted.
We're happy to take your call, 888-31-TRUTH. But can you give us an idea then of what the church might tell us about loneliness? One of the most probably famous aspects of Catholicism is that we have hermits and we have desert fathers and we have people who go out to be alone. Does that give us any clue or any insight into the fact of loneliness or being alone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, we can kind of pick which one. Maybe I'll go with the hermits there. But there's many ways the Catholic tradition touches on loneliness through our understanding of the virtues, through our focus upon redemptive suffering and Christ's own loneliness during his passion and his hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. But, yeah, one tradition there is the great tradition of hermits throughout the history of the church. You know, and there can be a huge difference between loneliness and solitude. Loneliness has been called the pain of being alone, and solitude can be, you know, the glory or the joy of being alone. And in our Catholic tradition, those desert hermits, you know, in Egypt and in the Middle East, actually there were ancient Irish saints who were hermits in that beautiful land of Ireland in the deep forests and glens. They would go there to be by themselves, but also, of course, to then be in greater communion with God. So solitude and aloneness was a chance to, you know, forge and deepen our relationship with God. And some of the most famous of these hermits, though, were also then, you know, sought out by other people for the great, you know, insights they received through that communion with God and how that could help other people who are living in the world, you know, deal with all the sufferings that they face.
You know, today, too, is the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And in a certain way, our Catholic faith suggests, even though we may not be able to perceive it, we're really not ever alone. I mean, at the very least, we are accompanied by our angel at all times.
Absolutely. I mean, I find that very point very beautifully made in one of the ancient stories of Saint Kevin of Glendalough in Ireland. He was one of these hermits who went out to live by himself for 7 years in this forest glen. But the stories say that his angel was always with him and said angels would follow him. You would see them kind of ruffling the tops of bushes as they moved along. And of course, you know, even in the story of Christ, when he goes out in the desert to pray, that the angels ministered to him. So that is something to keep in mind, you know, as Catholics, something that goes beyond what any secular therapy can give, is that we always have the relationship with God, with Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're always in connection with the communion, the great communion of saints, you know, and with the angels. So we're never actually truly alone.
Lots of calls. Shall we take some calls now?
Absolutely.
All right. Paul in Maine listening on the Presence Radio. You are on with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please.
Hi, thanks for my call. I'm in that group that you described as very lonely, and it's been a long time now. I was divorced 5 years ago. My wife civilly divorced me. We're both Catholic, and she's not following the path. I had a journey with God when my oldest son, who's 12, was born, and so I know what my job is, and I know that we will get back together. That's part of, I think, what I saw in the vision, in the journey. And I guess my question is to those people like me who are married and trying to maintain their vows, or divorced civilly and married through the Catholic Church and trying to maintain their vows, is this our destiny, loneliness?
Well, I thank you for your question, Paul. And, you know, it's a very deep, of course, and a painful question. You know, I find, you know, two of the most painful, powerful sources of loneliness, you know, do come through divorce or through bereavement, you know, through the actual loss of the life of our spouse or through a situation like yours of a separation or civil divorce. And I think one thing to keep in mind, we never know God's plan. We never know how long something may or may not last. You know, what we do know is that God won't let us into a situation where we don't have the grace to deal with it in the long haul, to be able to bear that. So I think we always, you know, want to thank God for whatever relationship we have had and thank him for the strength to endure it while we're going through a painful situation. Because, again, we don't know how long that will be, but we do know that we can keep it from defeating us. And I think, you know, one way that people who are experiencing intense loneliness, you know, as you are, one of the best ways to deal with it is to keep in mind, you know, all those other lonely people around us, to kind of, you know, heighten our senses, open up our radar to other suffering people, to think, you know, well, what might I be able to do to help that person, maybe in a similar situation? So those are just some of my first thoughts on what you might do in a situation like that, Paul.
Paul?
Yes.
Any thoughts?
It's tough. You know, it's tough. And on that journey, one of the things that God showed me was the valley of death and despair with charred souls down deep in a crevice. And I wonder, you know, I walked away from that experience calling it the Valley of Death and Despair. And then, you know, listening to this, you know, station, I've heard that is divorce. Can you speak a little bit about that? It is so incredibly painful. But if it's what I'm supposed to do to get my wife back and get her in heaven, then that's my job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all have to discern what God's exact call is to us, and we often don't know at the present time. You know, we don't foresee the future. We don't know for sure what's going to happen, but we still just want to submit ourselves, you know, to the will of God, to do what we feel he is calling us to do, you know, and to keep in mind when you feel like you are in that despairing pit that, you know, one of those theological virtues God infuses in us is hope. You know, hope that we'll attain heaven with his help, hope that we can, you know, act according to his will. And I think, you know, some people, even people who've experienced the great pain of divorce or bereavement, you know, can at some point in their lives look back and then see, you know, the good that did come from that deep pain, the deep empathy, the a greater ability to reach out to others in similar pain. So I will pray and hope that, you know, in your situation, despite your intense pain now, you will look back and say, you know, now I understand, you know, and thank you, God, for this great grace and strength.
Paul, thank you very much for that call. How can science and faith help us understand and grow from our loneliness is our topic today. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, the newest book from Dr. Kevin Vost. We go now to Kyle in Rushville, Indiana, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Kyle, your question for Dr. Vost.
Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Yes.
Okay. As someone who has same-sex attraction and who knows that they're not called to the married life, how can one counteract the loneliness that someone feels as someone who has same-sex attraction and realize counter that loneliness through realizing that God is always with us? And how can I become more aware of God's presence in my life and to counter that loneliness? So that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question, Kyle. Very, very important one. The first possibility that comes to my mind is to embrace spiritual friendship. There's a Saint Aelred of Rivaux who he comes in one of my chapters in the book on friendship. You know, wrote intensely about this kind of spiritual friendship. He was an abbot of a monastery. He had lived a worldly life in the court of a King David of Scotland, later was called to the monastery. And part of his calling was to establish these deep spiritual, you know, non-sexual friendships with his fellow monks. And I'd highly recommend, if you can, to if you haven't, to read his book, Spiritual Friendship, another beautiful book called The Mirror of Charity, where he talks about, you know, Christ's yoke on us being light because it is a yoke of charity and love. So even for people who feel they can never have, you know, that marital commitment, there can be deep emotional connections through virtuous and spiritual friendships. So, you know, I'd recommend, and of course, those are grounded in Christ. St. Aelred makes that so clear. He starts his book on friendship, you know, so here we are, you and I, and Christ the third is within us. So those kind of friendships, you know, come, you know, with, through, and in Christ. So I would recommend thinking in terms of developing, you know, enriching spiritual friendships, you know, with males and with females.
Kyle, well, first of all, the spelling of Saint Aelred, is it A-L-E?
A-E-L-R-E-D.
A-E-L-R-E-D, Kyle, if you would like to find that book, Spiritual Friendship. But Kyle, your response, any further question for Dr. Vost?
No, that was very helpful. And I have heard of St. Aelred of Rivaux before, and I haven't gotten around to reading him yet. So I will definitely take a look at that. So thank you so much, Dr. Vost.
Oh, you're most welcome, Kyle.
Thank you for that call, Kyle. 888-318-7884 is our number. We are talking about The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, Dr. Kevin Vost's brand new book this hour, 888-318-7884. Another thing that you discuss in the book is virtue. What's the relationship between virtue or acquiring virtue and loneliness?
Yeah, there's all kinds of relationships there. And one thing that, you know, really came through to me as a psychologist and as a devotee of St. Thomas Aquinas was really the degree of overlap between the goals of modern cognitive psychotherapy and how Thomas describes the natural virtues. Because in natural virtues, we train ourselves to have a disposition, a tendency to act in a virtuous way, regardless of what kind of circumstance we come across.
You know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll continue with more on that on the other side. Again, 888-318-7884, our number. The book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, a perfect book for our times, given the really what we might call the epidemic of loneliness in our world. This is Catholic Answers Live. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we'll be right back after this.
bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day. In conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a go-to resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Kevin Vost is our guest. Dr. Vost has taught psychology at Aquinas College in Nashville, Tennessee, and at the University of Illinois at Springfield. His latest book is The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, How Science and Faith Can Help Us Understand It, Grow From It, and Conquer It. Dr. Vost, you were saying before we went, oh, let me give that number out again. Hang on, 888-318-7884, our number, 888-318-7884. We were discussing the relationship between virtue and loneliness, and you were saying that the behavioral cognitive therapy that's become really so popular and is helping so many people has very similar goals to Thomas Aquinas's kind of teaching of the virtues.
Yes, you know, just in a nutshell, for Thomas Aquinas, the moral virtues are training ourselves to keep our passions, you know, our emotions and our actions in line with right reason, you know, with common sense, with rational ways of thinking, you know, recognizing what our true goals are and what's truly right and wrong. In essence, that's the gist of these modern cognitive therapies.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, I suppose we've had modern psychotherapy for maybe more than 100 years now. And in recent years, it has become very, very practical with behavioral cognitive, that changing your thinking about your experiences can really be of great benefit to you. And reasoning through things is not – I suppose there was a time in therapy where the idea was to emote a great deal or something. But it's almost like there's a return to reason in much of the psychotherapeutic world.
That's right. You know, not that emoting is bad, that we want to, but we want to have our, you know, emotions in line with what's truly good for us, what's truly right. So that in that way, you know, our emotions and our actions are guided by what's truly best for us.
Let's go now to Philip in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to EWTN on 1460 AM. Philip, your question for Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hi, I've recently been going through an anxious time, and I've been anxious probably since like November, December last year. I've been having like panic attacks and such, and I've had like a long journey, and I feel like over the time I felt like isolated. You know, I'm a young adult and I'm just getting into the work world, and I recently got a full-time job a couple of months ago, but lately the panic attacks have been getting the best of me, and I could feel that I've been like attacked, you know what I'm saying, like spiritually in a way where I feel like lonely and isolated from other people. It's been tough to go out places and such like that. So what would you recommend, like from your perspective, like what I should try and do? I'm seeing psychologists too, so I've used some of that behavioral theory too, which has helped.
Yeah, excellent. That would have been my first thing, you know, to ask if you were seeing some kind of counselor, because, you know, if the distress or loneliness, if you feel that it's really impacting you in important areas of your life, or if you're feeling other strong symptoms along with it, like anxiety that you mentioned, or depression, then it is a time to seek out some mental health counseling, because there's much that they can do there. I would say, you know, for other things, for a Catholic person, you know, you want to, one thing I recommend, you know, again, as we've mentioned, is to dig into these virtues, see how they can help us control our thoughts and our worries. Sorry, I lost my own train of thought there for a second. Let me get back on track here.
If our own you lost your train of thought and you've been talking about thinking, but the idea that if you have anxiety and you're going to therapy, one of the goals of therapy, you were saying, is that therapy should be about our thinking. Am I following that correctly?
Oh, yeah. Often therapy, you know, will have that cognitive component that is dealing with your thinking, but it'll also give you some behaviors, some things, you know, to go out and do. I'm not sure, Philip, if your therapist gives you some exercises, some tasks to do to kind of counteract how you're feeling. And that's one area, a specific example, a way of virtues can tie in. Fortitude, for example, is our ability, you know, courage or ability to do hard things. So sometimes we have to call up that fortitude to do something. We're feeling anxious to go out there into a situation that we're uncomfortable about. But in that case, you know, we can practice that fortitude. We can pray to God for the help to do that kind of thing. I'll ask you something else, Philip. Do you get much exercise?
Yeah, I've been starting to walk recently. That's what my doctor has told me I needed to do, and my psychologist. So I've recently been starting to walk more. And, I mean, it's been a challenge for me to get out and walk because the distance, I've had a little bit of agoraphobia also. So it's been a really tough thing for me. So I've been trying to challenge myself, but it's been a challenge, you know. So.
Well, but that's excellent there, Phil. Like you said, you know, you're challenging yourself. That is exactly what you need to do. You said it's tough, but you're doing tough things. So you're showing yourself that you can do these tough things. And I also asked specifically about exercise because there's just a growing body of research now that also shows the positive effects on our mental functioning from physical exercise, you know, improving the blood flow, stimulating different neurotransmitters in the brain, different growth factors, human growth hormone, other factors that really lend to overall physical health. And here again, you know, I tie it into our Catholic tradition. You know, we've always known that the body is good, that we're ensouled composites of mind and body. So if you have a serious problem with loneliness, anxiety, you know, we do want to approach it from all angles, from the help of modern, you know, psychology, through the biological help that can come even from things like walking, and then also just, you know, from remaining hopeful, calling on God, you know, praying for assistance, and spiritual direction will be another possibility if you're not availing yourself of that.
Philip, thank you very, very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH, our number, our topic, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, the latest book from Dr. Kevin Vost. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, how science and faith can help us understand it, grow from it, and conquer it. Another example of, I mean, this, so as we get so many of a place where we need both science and faith, we need both reason and revelation, I suppose would be another way to say it, in order to deal with these very human experiences. I imagine that the angels don't feel lonely. This must be, and I don't know if animals feel lonely. It seems like a particularly human predicament, one that's spreading, indeed spreading. What I'm thinking of is you talked just a little bit about the devices that we have in the screens and all that right at the beginning, but you just said that exercise is actually very, very important in our mental health. So it seems like as much as these screens are bringing anxieties and upsets to our eyes all the time, they're also discouraging us getting out and moving and getting out, not just getting out and moving, but getting out and breathing the fresh air and seeing the sky and all those kinds of things.
That's right. You know, technology, of course, is such a mixed blessing.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful that it moves us in the right direction. You know, there are some technologies now, I don't use them myself, but I have loved ones who use them, things that will like measure how many steps you take in a day and that can actually encourage you, special watches and things, to get out and do that. But for various reasons, there's so many reasons of just getting out there and doing things as simple as exercising, taking a walk, ideally with another person, you know, or going to a gym, going to a bowling alley, whatever your own interest is, where you can have that kind of interaction that can make all the difference.
Steve in Worcester, Massachusetts, listening on 89.3 FM. You are on with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please, Steve.
Hi. Thanks. maybe we could shine a different light on this. Perhaps an opportunity to exercise the blessedness of the poor in spirit if a person is experiencing a kind of loneliness.
How do you take that, Dr. Vost, of loneliness as a kind of being poor in spirit?
Well, I think, I mean, we'll see where, you know, Stephen's going with. I think it's an excellent insight. You know, Christ did ask us to be poor in spirit. We're going to realize, I guess, that everything we want, every pleasure, every satisfaction, every emotional connection we might desire is not going to be ours here on this earth. And our model there, of course, can be Christ himself. That's one other key area of focus, is that we have suffering. In terms of loneliness, some theologians have argued that Christ's loneliness during his passion and his time in the Garden of Gethsemane may have been more, you know, overwhelming than his physical pain.
I guess we're having a technical problem.
Can you hear me?
Was there a little technical glitch there for a second? Stephen, are you still there with us?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm sorry, Stephen. I had a...
Yes, I am here. You guys are bouncing.
Yes, hello?
There seems to be some kind of feedback loop happening. Stephen, in Worcester, can you give us your response to what Dr. Vost said?
If I heard him correctly, there was some bouncing back and forth there. But it's been my experience that, for example, when one walks through the door at the end of the day, knowing there isn't going to be anyone there on the other side of the door, one can focus on things more centered on, not in a selfish way, but one's personal journey with the Lord. There's a great deal more quiet time. There's an opportunity to set up a regular sort of orarium, almost, if you like, with the way one goes about one's business. One is free to get up a little bit earlier in the morning to say their rosary and to do their devotions, and then at the end of the evening to come home and instead of spending one's time with a loved one, which of course is wonderful, but to have an opportunity to sit quietly and to anticipate a time with the Lord in quiet and with a reflective spirit and to not feel loneliness, but to embrace one's solitude, to take it as solitude as opposed to a loneliness. You know, be glad for the opportunity to allow the Lord to reach down into you and to dig into you and to open oneself up interiorly to what it is that the Lord might have for you as time goes on. It's not necessarily that. Well, it to make space for Him within you, without the distractions maybe of the married or the betrothed existence or with a significant other in one's day.
Dr. Vost?
Yeah, excellent. So well said, Stephen. Excellent points from a spiritual and a psychological perspective, both. There have been some modern psychiatrists, psychologists who've written about loneliness and solitude, and saying, too, there are also individual differences. You know, we differ in how much we feel this need for a close emotional interaction with others or for a wide network of friends. And some people do tend to function better with more alone time. And even those of us who wouldn't choose it can learn to grow from it, can learn the positives there, you know, to embrace our time with God. And at times, too, you know, when we spend that time by ourselves, when we do walk out the door afterwards and engage others, you know, we can also bring some of that joy and insight that we obtain from that time to solitude to be Christ towards others. So I think that's an excellent point, to embrace solitude, the poverty of spirit, where in a sense we come to thank God for those times of aloneness as times that we can grow spiritually.
Stephen in Worcester, thanks so much for that call. Kevin Vost is our guest this hour. His latest book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, How Science and Faith Can Help Us Understand It, Grow From It, and Conquer It. Our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back after this with more on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I met my husband in my first year of college. We both came from strong Catholic families and wanted lots of children. After 3 years of marriage and still not pregnant, we felt our dream of a big family slipping away. My sister encouraged us to visit our local Catholic store and get a novena to St. Gerard. When we arrived, we were unsure about our need, but the staff was kind and helpful. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. They encouraged us to pray and trust in God's providence. One worker told us stories of other couples, just like us, who were desperate to start a family. 4 years and two children later, we have been back to that incredible Catholic store for baby, baptism, and toddler gifts. God bless the staff at that incredible Catholic store. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We'll get everything right this segment. Dr. Kevin Vost is our guest. His latest book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness. Thank you for your calls. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Vost on the Catholic approach and, the combination faith and science approach to loneliness, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You have in the book a whole bunch of concrete kind of steps you can take to conquer loneliness. Can you share some of that, those concrete steps with us?
Sure. I end the chapter 6 with about 30 very simple suggestions. And before that, I talk a little bit about, you know, part of what's gone on in our country to lead to so much loneliness. And some commentators have said part of it's this popularization of people of faith, of the idea that, you know, it's just Jesus and me and everything is okay. Almost forgetting that need for the church, forgetting that need to relate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So my main focus in that end chapter with the practical suggestions is ways that we can reach out, be more aware, and reach out to other people around us who may be lonely to help them, but in the same means helping ourselves if we are lonely. We can still do these things to reach out. And they could be as simple, whenever you're with another person in an elevator and in line there, that you make some eye contact, say hello, or at least, smile, show that person that they exist, hold a door open for a person instead of letting it, slam in their face. All kinds of these simple things, being aware of other ways that we can please people, being aware that other people are lonely and might be looking forward to some kind of an overture from someone else. So it's really just a myriad of ways that we can do, you know, what Christ called us to do, just to reach out and to do unto others, not just to react to them, but to be thinking in advance, how can we reach out to a person, never knowing that person we reach out to might really be suffering loneliness, like we've had already some of our callers today.
in a certain sense, I suppose loneliness is a kind of, or the fact of persistent loneliness, it involves a kind of loss of I don't know, of the sense that I'm not alone in this. I don't know how to quite make the point, mm-hmm. but you know, mm-hmm. might kind of keep reinforcing for us, I'm alone, and make us forget, well, a lot of other people are feeling that way as well. And this might be there might be a kind of vocation in this for me that I need to help others.
Yeah, exactly. It's the idea that sometimes it's the depths of our pain that can give us, you know, new strengths and a new vocation. And I think that can certainly apply to the lonely people. If you're feeling very lonely, make it a vocation. You know, ask God how you can help reach out to other lonely people, because, oh my gosh, there's millions of them around us. So I think that is a very important idea to keep in mind.
888-318-7884, the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Just before we go back to calls, one thing, though, it does seem that another thing that media does in our day and age is make us more and more afraid of one another. So that you gave those things that you can do, you know, say hello to, you know, visit with someone, just make eye contact. And there's something about the stories we watch on TV or the news or whatever, it does make us more suspicious and nervous around other people.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, we don't want to, though, realize, as horrible as these events are, they're still very small in terms of a base rate. You know, these tragedies don't happen to most. Most people are not going to try to harm you. So for the great majority of the time, we can make these simple gestures. And hopefully, too, with our technology, we see it, like, for example, in the young with cell phones. Here's a great, easy way to connect any time of day. But at time it came to where, when texting came along, it came to the point where many people now are uncomfortable to make a call. It feels too intrusive, or people even become, you know, uncomfortable with calling, more comfortable with that impersonal form of texting. So I'd say, you know, one thing we could do when possible is just try to, you know, kind of upgrade one notch. If you're going to text a person, maybe go ahead and text them, or ask them in the text if you could call. Or if someone's nearby, instead of just, you know, shooting them a text or an email, you know, possibly just to go actually meet them physically.
888-318-7884, the number, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, our topic with Dr. Kevin Vost. We go now to Leonard in Temecula, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Leonard, your question for Dr. Vost.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is I got a divorce about a year ago. And also, when I was a little kid, I went to all private Catholic school, French Catholic school, and then I went to Episcopalian Catholic school. And then after that, I kind of drift away from the Catholicism. And now I'm been trying to get back into, I went to church and I didn't like it. I'm used to kind of the old Latin church where you go in there, it's kind of peaceful, quiet, cathedral style. And I went into this church that it was like guitars and people talking, kids crying, and I really didn't like it. So what do I do?
Okay, Leonard, you know, excellent question. And I would say, you know, well, a couple things. You know, of course, you know, we go to church primarily to, you know, celebrate the Eucharist, to honor God. And hopefully, you know, we can train ourselves to do that even though things may bother us or distract us. On the other hand, too, I don't know where you live, but you know, thankfully, in most parts of our country, there's different options, different places you can go to church, different, sometimes, of course, different masses even within the same church at different times of day will have a different feel. So you might want to look into that. I'm here in the middle of central Illinois, and I actually also have two options for the traditional Latin Mass. So that's another possibility. But I think, you know, the bottom line is, you know, thank God that you are drawn back to the church, and I hope that you will, you know, keep coming back. I hope that those distractions don't keep you away. So I would say just, you know, open up your heart to God, that he will guide you, you know, towards that Mass where you can go and communicate with him. And also, you know, form an establishment with those peoples in the parish, you know, reach out to the parishioners or to the priest. And hopefully, you know, that will help alleviate your loneliness and then allow you to help others with theirs.
Leonard, thank you very, very much for that call. I know one sentence that pastors love to hear. Father, what can I do to help around the parish? 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Al in Worcester, Pennsylvania, you are on with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please. Hi, Al.
My wife passed away about 21 months ago after 60 years of marriage, and I live alone. And it's been very lonely ever since she's gone. And I try to busy myself with listening to Mass on EWTN and the Rosary and the different religious programs. And I just go into periods of depression where, you know, I would like to go be with her.
Okay, Al, thank you for calling. I feel your situation. That's one of the most powerful sources of loneliness, of course, is the loss of a loved one, especially a loved one, you know, you'd shared so many years together. I would say, you know, first, it's probably not unusual that you're thinking of the time ahead when you can be with her again. You know, and that is fine. If you felt yourself actually, you know, had thoughts of getting yourself there, you know, of harming yourself, you would want to make sure to, you know, let your doctor know or let a therapist know, because, you know, that's of course not God's intention. I think, you know, another thing you can do, of course, is, you know, think about your beloved wife and what she would want for you. Of course, you know, she would want you to be happy, to endure, to make what kind of connections you can have here on earth. And it sounds like you're, you know, recourse to deeper connection with God through your immersion in EWTN and the Mass are very, very good things. So I would, you know, pray that you continue on along those same ways. But again, if you're feeling like it's really getting you too down, that you do seek out help.
Al, how does that strike you?
I guess that's what I do.
Al, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's something, we're getting a little interference on the line. I hope that you will take to heart what Dr. Vos said. I'm sorry we can't go back and forth a little more about it. But you might also, I don't know, Dr. Vos, you might also call the parish. Lots of parishes now, I've noticed, have bereavement ministries that they've developed. There may be a bereavement ministry near Al.
Yeah, absolutely. Bereavement ministries. I know in our own parish here, there's also such groups for people going through divorce. So there are, in some places, resources within the church itself.
888-31-TRUTH is our number. The Catholic Guide to Loneliness is Dr. Kevin Vost's newest book. Let's see if we can get one call in here before we have to go. Anonymous, you are on with Dr. Kevin Vost. Your question, please.
Hi. I don't really have a question, but I was familiar with the gentleman who had come back to the Catholic Church and felt like the guitars and the children and everything else were bothering him. One thought, because I had someone else go through that same thing, go during the week when it's not so crowded and you don't always have the music and the children. And sometimes that's a slow way of coming back to the church. It's a time of meditation.
Daily Mass. Indeed. Dr. Vos, we don't have very much time, so I want to give you a chance to respond. But Daily Mass does tend to be a little less hectic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Anonymous, for that excellent, very practical recommendation.
A Catholic Guide to Loneliness, How Science and Faith Can Help Us Understand It, Grow from It, and Conquer It. The newest book from Dr. Kevin Vos from Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Vos, thank you very much for spending this hour with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Si. God bless.
Next hour, Working on Your Marriage, How to Make Marriage Work with Dr. Gregory Popchak will be with us very shortly. I am Cy Kellett. I also want to say, Nick, have we posted the Friday show yet? Is it up? Oh, well, we're going to post that Friday show because I heard that I couldn't hear it. We were in a room with about 700 people, and we did the show live, and it was a lot of fun for me. I think you'll enjoy hearing it if you haven't heard it. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.